Chapter 44. Behold me on my way to an emigrant ship, on a hot morning early in June. My road lies through that part of London generally known to the initiated as down by the docks. Apostrophe down by the docks is home to a good many people, too many, if I may judge from the overflow of local population in the streets, but my nose insinuates that the number to whom it is sweet home might be easily counted. Down by the docks is a region I would choose as my point of embarkation aboard ship if I were an emigrant. It would present my intention to me in such a sensible light. It would show me so many things to be run away from. Down by the docks, they eat the largest oysters and scatter the roughest oyster shells known to the descendants of St. George and the Dragon. Down by the docks, they consume the slimiest of shellfish, which seem to have been scraped off the copper bottoms of ships. Down by the docks, the vegetables at greengrocers' doors acquire a saline and a scaly look, as if they had been crossed with fish and seaweed. Down by the docks, they board seamen at the eating houses, the public houses, the slop shops, the coffee shops, the tally shops, all kinds of shops mentionable and unmentionable board them, as it were, in the piratical sense, making them bleed terribly, and giving no quarter. Down by the docks, the seamen roam in mid-street and midday, their pockets inside out, and their heads no better. Down by the docks, the daughters of wave-ruling Britannia also rove, clad in silken attire, with uncovered tresses streaming in the breeze, bandana kerchiefs floating from their shoulders, and crinoline not wanting. Down by the docks, you may hear the incomparable Joe Jackson sing the Standard of England, with a hornpipe, any night, or any day may see at the waxwork, for a penny and no waiting, him as killed the policeman at Acton and suffered for it. Down by the docks, you may buy polonies, saveloys, and sausage preparations various, if you are not particular what they are made of besides seasoning. Down by the docks, the children of Israel creep into any gloomy crypts and entries they can hire, and hang slops their pewter watches, sou'wester hats, waterproof overalls first-rate article if, jack. Apostrophe down by the docks, such dealers exhibiting on a frame a complete nautical suit without the refinement of a waxen visage in the hat, present the imaginary wearer as drooping at the yard arm, with his seafaring and earthfaring troubles over. Down by the docks, the placards in the shops apostrophize the customer, knowing him familiarly beforehand, as, look here, Jack. Apostrophe apostrophe here's your sort, my lad. Apostrophe apostrophe try RC going mixed, at 2 and 9. Apostrophe the right kit for the British tar. Apostrophe apostrophe ship ahoy. Apostrophe splice the main brace, brother. Apostrophe apostrophe come, cheer up, my lads. We've the best liquors here, and you'll find something new in our wonderful beer. Apostrophe apostrophe down by the docks, the pawnbroker lends money on Union Jack pocket handkerchiefs, on watches with little ships pitching fore and aft on the dial, on telescopes, nautical instruments in cases, and such like. Down by the docks, the apothecary sets up in business on the wretchedest scale, chiefly on lint, and plaster for the strapping of wounds, and with no bright bottles, and with no little drawers. Down by the docks, the shabby undertaker's shop will bury you for next to nothing, after the Malay or Chinaman has stabbed you for nothing at all. So you can hardly hope to make a cheaper end. Down by the docks, anybody drunk will quarrel with anybody drunk or sober, and everybody else will have a hand in it, and on the shortest notice you may revolve in a whirlpool of red shirts, shaggy beards, wild heads of hair, bare tattooed arms, Britannia's daughters, malice, mud, maundering, and madness. Down by the docks, scraping fiddles go in the public houses all day long, and, shrill above their din and all the din, rises the screeching of innumerable parrots brought from foreign parts, who appear to be very much astonished by what they find on these native shores of ours. Possibly the parrots don't know. Possibly they do. That down by the docks is the road to the Pacific Ocean, with its lovely islands, where the savage girls plait flowers, and the savage boys carve coconut shells, and the grim blind idols muse in their shady groves to exactly the same purpose as the priests and chiefs. And possibly the parrots don't know, possibly they do, that the noble savage is a wearisome impostor wherever he is, and has 500,000 volumes of indifferent rhyme, and no reason to answer for. Shadwell Church. Pleasant whispers of there being a fresher air down the river than down by the docks, go pursuing one another, playfully, in and out of the openings in its spire. Gigantic in the basin just beyond the church, looms my emigrant ship. Her name, the Amazon. Her figurehead is not disfigured as those bodious founders of the race of strong-minded women are fabled to have been, for the convenience of drawing the bow, but I sympathize with the carver. A flattering carver who made it his care to carve busts as they ought to be, not as they were. My emigrant ship lies broadside onto the wharf. Two great gangways made of spars and planks connect her with the wharf, and up and down these gangways, perpetually crowding to and fro and in and out, like ants, are the emigrants who are going to sail in my emigrant ship. Some with cabbages, some with loaves of bread, some with cheese and butter, some with milk and beer, some with boxes, beds, and bundles, some with babies, nearly all with children, nearly all with brand new tin cans for their daily allowance of water, uncomfortably suggestive of a tin flavor in the drink. To and fro, up and down, aboard and ashore, swarming here and there and everywhere, my emigrants. And still as the dock gate swings upon its hinges, cabs appear, and carts appear, and vans appear, bringing more of my emigrants, with more cabbages, more loaves, more cheese and butter, more milk and beer, more boxes, beds, and bundles, more tin cans, and on those shipping investments accumulated compound interest of children. I go aboard my emigrant ship. I go first to the great cabin, and find it in the usual condition of a cabin at that pass. Perspiring landsmen, with loose papers, and with pens and inkstands, pervade it, and the general appearance of things is as if the late Mr. Amazon's funeral had just come home from the cemetery, and the disconsolate Mrs. Amazon's trustees found the affairs in great disorder, and were looking high and low for the will. I go out on the poop deck, for air, and surveying the emigrants on the deck below, indeed they are crowded all about me, up there too, find more pens and inkstands in action, and more papers, and interminable complication respecting accounts with individuals for tin cans and whatnot. But nobody is in an ill temper, nobody is the worse for drink, nobody swears an oath or uses a coarse word. Nobody appears depressed, nobody is weeping, and down upon the deck in every corner, where it is possible to find a few square feet to kneel, crouch, or lie in, people, in every unsuitable attitude for writing, are writing letters. Now, I have seen emigrant ships before this day in June. And these people are so strikingly different from all other people in like circumstances whom I have ever seen, that I wonder aloud, what would a stranger suppose these emigrants to be? ... The vigilant, bright face of the weather-brown captain of the Amazon is at my shoulder, and he says, "What, indeed? The most of these came aboard yesterday evening. They came from various parts of England in small parties that had never seen one another before. Yet they had not been a couple of hours on board when they established their own police, made their own regulations, and set their own watches at all the hatchways. Before 9 o'clock, the ship was as orderly and as quiet as a man of war. I looked about me again and saw the letter writing going on with the most curious composure. Perfectly abstracted in the midst of the crowd, while great casks were swinging aloft and being lowered into the hold, while hot agents were hurrying up and down, adjusting the interminable accounts, while 200 strangers were searching everywhere for 200 other strangers, and were asking questions about them of 200 more, While the children played up and down all the steps, and in and out among all the people's legs, and were beheld, to the general dismay, toppling over all the dangerous places, the letter writers wrote on calmly. On the starboard side of the ship, a grizzled man dictated a long letter to another grizzled man in an immense fur cap, which letter was of so profound a quality that it became necessary for the amanuensis at intervals to take off his fur cap in both his hands for the ventilation of his brain and stare at him who dictated as a man of many mysteries who was worth looking at. On the larboard side, a woman had covered a bellying pin with a white cloth to make a neat desk of it, and was sitting on a little box, writing with the deliberation of a bookkeeper. Down, upon her breast on the planks of the deck at this woman's feet, with her head diving in under a beam of the bulwarks on that side, as an eligible place of refuge for her sheet of paper, a neat and pretty girl wrote for a good hour. She fainted at last, only rising to the surface occasionally for a dip of ink. Alongside the boat, close to me on the poop deck, another girl, a fresh, well-grown country girl, was writing another letter on the bare deck. Later in the day, when this self-same boat was filled with a choir who sang glees and catches for a long time, one of the singers, a girl, sang her part mechanically all the while, and wrote a letter in the bottom of the boat while doing so. A stranger would be puzzled to guess the right name for these people, Mr. Uncommercial, apostrophe says the captain. Indeed he would. Apostrophe, if you hadn't known, could you ever have supposed? Apostrophe, apostrophe, how could I? I should have said they were in their degree, the pick and flower of England. Apostrophe, so should I, apostrophe says the captain. How many are they? Apostrophe, apostrophe, 800 in round numbers. Apostrophe, I went between decks, where the families with children swarmed in the dark, where unavoidable confusion had been caused by the last arrivals, and where the confusion was increased by the little preparations for dinner that were going on in each group. A few women here and there had got lost, and were laughing at it, and asking their way to their own people, or out on deck again. A few of the poor children were crying, but otherwise the universal cheerfulness was amazing. We shall shake down by tomorrow. Apostrophe, we shall come all right in a day or so. Apostrophe, we shall have more light at sea. Apostrophe, such phrases I heard everywhere, as I groped my way among chests, and barrels and beams and unstowed cargo and ring bolts and emigrants, down to the lower deck, and thence up to the light of day again, and to my former station. Surely, an extraordinary people in their power of self-abstraction. All the former letter writers were still writing calmly, and many more letter writers had broken out in my absence. A boy with a bag of books in his hand, and a slate under his arm, emerged from below, concentrated himself in my neighborhood, espying a convenient skylight for his purpose, and went to work at a sum, as if he were stone deaf. A father and mother and several young children, on the main deck below me, had formed a family circle close to the foot of the crowded restless gangway, where the children made a nest for themselves in a coil of rope, and the father and mother, she suckling the youngest, discussed family affairs as peaceably as if they were in perfect retirement. I think the most noticeable characteristic in the 800 as a mass was their exemption from hurry. 800 what? Geese, villain? Apostrophe 800 Mormons. I, a commercial traveler for the firm of Human Interest Brothers, had come aboard this emigrant ship to see what 800 Latter-day Saints were like, and I found them, to the rout and overthrow of all my expectations, like what I now describe with scrupulous exactness. The Mormon agent who had been active in getting them together, and in making the contract with my friends the owners of the ship, to take them as far as New York on their way to the Great Salt Lake, was pointed out to me. A compactly made handsome man in black, rather short, with rich brown hair and beard, and clear bright eyes. From his speech, I should set him down as American. Probably, a man who had knocked about the world pretty much. A man with a frank open manner, and unshrinking look, withal a man of great quickness. I believe he was wholly ignorant of my uncommercial individuality, and consequently of my immense uncommercial importance. Uncommercial. These are a very fine set of people you have brought together here. Mormon agent. Yes, sir, they are a very fine set of people. Uncommercial looking about, indeed, I think it would be difficult to find 800 people together anywhere else, and find so much beauty, and so much strength and capacity for work among them. Mormon agent, not looking about, but looking steadily at uncommercial, I think so. We sent out about 1,000 more, yesterday, from Liverpool. Uncommercial. You are not going with these emigrants? Mormon agent. No, sir. I remain. Uncommercial. But you have been in the Mormon territory? Mormon agent. Yes, I left Utah about 3 years ago. Uncommercial. It is surprising to me that these people are all so cheery and make so little of the immense distance before them. Mormon agent. Well, you see, many of them have friends out at Utah, and many of them look forward to meeting friends on the way. Uncommercial. On the way? Mormon agent. This way tis. This ship lands them in New York City. Then they go on by rail right away beyond St. Louis, to that part of the banks of the Missouri, where they strike the plains. There, wagons from the settlement meet them to bear them company on their journey across 1,200 miles about. Industrious people who come out to the settlement soon get wagons of their own, and so the friends of some of these will come down in their own wagons to meet them. They look forward to that, greatly. Uncommercial. On their long journey across the desert, do you arm them? Mormon agent. Mostly you would find they have arms of some kind or another already with them. Such as had not arms we should arm across the plains, for the general protection and defense. Uncommercial. Will these wagons bring down any produce to the Missouri? Mormon agent. Well, since the war broke out, we've taken to growing cotton, and they'll likely bring down cotton, to be exchanged for machinery. We want machinery. Also we have taken to growing indigo, which is a fine commodity for profit. It has been found that the climate on the further side of the Great Salt Lake suits well for raising indigo. Uncommercial. I am told that these people now on board are principally from the south of England? Mormon agent. And from Wales. That's true. Uncommercial. Do you get many Scotch? Mormon agent. Not many. Uncommercial. Highlanders, for instance? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.